You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here today on Every Voice Matters. I am finally back in my office. It has been a long process, but a great creative space, as you can see behind me. And I look forward to welcoming all of our guests from this new space rather than the kitchen table. I also want to send a shout out to a couple of people today that I've spoken to this morning that I know are struggling, and just know that you're in my heart and sending out prayers for you today. I have a guest today that is just one of my favorite people. His name is Johnny Talk, and hi, Johnny. Nice
to meet you.
Johnny is coming to us from the state of Washington currently, and has some travels that he's been doing and more travels and changes coming up. Johnny is the admissions director for Pasea Life and Atlas Life, and he's got a lot of experience working in the industry and different therapeutic environments. One that he was with for a long time actually works with children who have video game addictions and also young adults as well. Mm-hmm. And he's worked at therapeutic boarding schools and group homes and wilderness programs, community mental health facilities. And then you also worked at a high school that was directly affected by trauma.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk with you today about what you're going to be doing, which is opening up a study abroad program next year, and just learning more. We've got a couple of questions that people have sent in that we can answer, but why don't we start off, Johnny, and just talking a little bit about how you've come to this place and this potential move that's coming up.
Sure.
Well.
Yeah, well, and thank you so much, Dori. I mean, Dori is one of my favorite people on the planet. So I feel very honored and blessed to that I was asked to be on the show. So thank you so much, Dori. It's always the quote that I keep hearing in my head, and I think I'm saying it right, like the strange and crooked path that led me to you, I think. And I think we all have that path of just all these just strange, you know, turns and life changes that kind of lead us in certain directions. And, you know, I can look back in my life and see a million of those, right?
Of course.
That where, you know, if I would have made one different decision, I'd be
doing
something
place.
Different city, different
absolutely.
You know, life. And so very blessed that, you know, I feel very fortunate that even the bad things that have happened in life have led me to, you know, my current situation, the life that I'm leading right now, which I love and excited about. So,
so you've been traveling back and forth to Spain over the last several months.
Yeah, and you know, it all kind of started you know, doing admissions. I'd been a therapist for years and had moved into more of an admissions role. And my wife is half Puerto Rican and mother-in-law, 100% Puerto Rican. And so entering into that kind of a dynamic, I am Midwest, you know, middle class Midwest, without a lot of exposure to different cultures, right? I feel like I've led a very my life has been a very insulated bubble.
So you were doing a lot of traveling
for most of my life, and so you know, meeting my wife, falling in love with my wife, and her father is also a Native American. So it's like this huge cultural explosion for me, going from you know, having so little of that to all of a sudden so much of it, and then we have our daughter who's now five, and knowing how important it was for us to immerse her in her Puerto Rican culture, and then the importance of just cultural diversity in general, we started thinking about, okay, like what are some options here in terms of our futures? Like, why let's not just limit ourselves to a future maybe in the States, and could we benefit from something a little bit different? And that's when we started to kind of explore beyond that, and you know, we kind of came across Spain, you know, with especially with the relationship with Spain and Puerto Rico, where, you know, there is, you know, because Spain occupied Puerto Rico, there is a certain path for citizenship for my daughter. So we were really kind of connected with this idea. And all of a sudden things started falling into place, and moves were made. And now we're looking at opening, you know, a program, a study abroad program in Spain next year. And so kind of carrying on that same kind of passion and drive and hope that we have for our daughter, and being able to kind of expand on that for students, and kind of expose students to that as well, you know, is something that we're so excited about.
So when you say a study abroad program, can you expand out a little bit on what that means for you, what you're looking at?
Dory, are you still there?
Yep. Can you not hear me?
There we are.
Oh, when you say a study abroad program, Johnny, what are you not hearing me? Nope.
Are we frozen?
Are you?
No.
So can you hear me, Johnny? Can you log off? Okay. Sam's going to log you off and have you log back in. Okay, so we've got a, you know, this happens sometimes with technology, and that's okay. We will get Johnny to log back in, and probably send him a text message here and just let him know. But I'm excited to hear more about what the new study abroad program is. And there we go.
All right. Is that better?
Oh, that's better.
Can I don't know what happened there. Yeah, I can hear you. Great.
Okay, good. Yep. Sometimes technology just takes us for a ride.
I was talking for a long time. Did any of that go through?
Oh, it did. Oh, okay, we heard you. Oh, absolutely.
I was worried.
We heard everything.
Okay, good. I was like, oh my gosh, how long have I been talking to myself?
Nope.
All right, perfect.
So when you're talking about a study abroad program, so what is that looking like next year?
Yeah. So it's looking like a little bit of a combination where we're going to be doing some homestays. So students having the opportunity to actually, you know, live with families and have that full cultural immersion, and also doing more of an intensive fellowship type program where we'll have a lot more involvement. They'll be living, you know, in our house, in a separate apartment, and there'll just be a lot more handholding there, and a lot more just kind of involvement from us, kind of pushing a lot more of the, you know, the activities and those types of things. So there's going to be a couple different options that are going to be available for students, and so we'll kind of be able to kind of fit their needs. Some, you know, can come with student visas and stay up to 2 years. I mean, we're looking at, you know, even students being able to achieve their associate's degree over there, which would be fantastic.
So they'd be connected to the local school system here in Spain.
Well, there's actually, we're looking, we're working specifically with a couple different schools. One is American College in Spain, who, you know, it's transferable American credits, or transferable credits to the States. And there's a couple other options that we're exploring too, so that students might have, you know, more possibilities. But yeah, how cool would that be to be able to, you know, be in Spain for 2 years and get your associate's degree and come back and you know, just have a lot of more opportunities in terms of what your college choices might be. And within that time, you'll be able to hopefully refine what you want to do with your life a little bit more, as well as gain, you know, a couple years of maturity. I think when I started, you know, investigating this, you know, study abroad, you know, spending time in Spain kind of a situation, everybody said, oh, that would be great for everybody. You know, this idea that, you know, students nowadays are being asked to kind of enter into, you know, college or, you know, independence at 18 when they're just not ready yet. They're not ready. And it doesn't have to be because there's some sort of significant clinical issue or, you know, any other kind of thing that might have like impede their ability to be on their own. A lot of it's just based on maturity.
Well, these last 2 years with COVID having kept everybody, you know, in a more isolated situation, I think a lot of the what would have been natural peer involvement and maturity, you know, was taken away from them during this time.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we're also looking at, you had mentioned, you know, my time at Restart, you know, looking at the dependence on technology and those types of things, which is totally true. And you know, Restart's an amazing program. And I think people should utilize them a lot because I think there's going to be a high need for that. But, you know, being able to be in an environment where it's helpful that time zones are so different too, I think, where it's like nobody's calling you throughout the day. Like there is no
like an 8-hour time difference.
Yeah, eight or nine. Yeah. And so there is no reason for you to be on your phone for, you know, a certain point of the day. Nothing's happening that you need to be aware of. You know, I think we see a lot of that due to boredom, right? This idea that I need constant stimulus or I'm going to reach for a device. So kind of expose them to
life, right?
Yeah, other opportunities. And it's a beautiful thing. And it can be an incredible thing. And until they expose themselves to those opportunities, expose themselves to different passions, you know, take some art classes, take some pottery courses, take a leather making course, take a, learn how to golf, whatever it might be, yoga on the beach. I think exposing yourselves to a lot of different things is what kind of sparks some of that that desire for exploration and wanting more or learning more. You know, I think with if our students are just kind of isolated inside, you know, none of that exploration is really taking place. And I think that's kind of, you know, halting a lot of their maturity. When I was in undergrad, I went to a small liberal arts college. And when I was there, I took introduction to absolutely everything I could, which it was great because I didn't have to declare a major until the start of my junior year, and which I don't think that's the case in other colleges, right?
Yeah.
But I took introduction to everything so I could figure out this. I'm not a math person. I'm not going to be a lawyer, all these other things where, you know, you come to those conclusions based on experiences, and knowledge. So, I think exposing people to life is kind of the best thing you can do.
Well, you've been traveling back and forth to Spain over the last, 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular area now that you've kind of focused on where you're going to be creating this study abroad program?
Yeah, so Estepona is on the southern coast of Spain.
Okay.
And it's, you know, we fell in love with it. It is the quintessential Spain with the walking streets, whitewashed buildings with flower pots on the sides of all the buildings. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. And the people there are predominantly Spanish. But there's also a lot of global diversity there.
Okay.
So, you have people from Norway and England and Germany. And So you have the Spanish influence and you have, you know, the Spanish culture, but then you also have even more of that global diversity, which is so wonderful. We were there last week,
right?
And it was funny. So I and me and my family, we would walk the streets every day. We'd walk the streets and introduce ourselves to shop owners. And by the end of the the week we were just walking past shops and saying hi, and everybody was saying hi to us. And it's just this very kind of cool, close-knit, warm, friendly community over there that we're really, really excited to join. So yeah, we're going to be based in Estepona, and we're looking for homestay opportunities in other cities as well. So the homestay, you know, their options won't just be limited to Estepona, okay, though there'll be some other options too.
Okay. I know that we had a couple of people ask some questions, and
sure.
You know, one of them was Brandon in Utah had asked, you know, how has COVID affected, you know, the gap year opportunities? And I think that's a question that's coming up, you know, when I've been speaking with parents, especially in the mm-hmm. last month or two, is who is traveling? You know, what countries are safe to travel to? Is this finally going to open up again?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important question, and one where we've had to say, you know, like, you know, everything's flexible. You know, I think we've had, even when describing anything, you know, what I've just described on the show, everything's flexible. and I think it has to be at this point. I think it's kind of like, you know, twofold. You have part of us who are so excited about travel, right? We haven't been able to do it for so long, isolated indoors. It allows us, or it has kind of pushed us to appreciate like our opportunities for travel and our, you know, maybe past trips that we've taken and how wonderful those were. And so it's like one of those things, you don't know what you got till it's gone kind of a situation. And so
doing an international trip every year until COVID hit.
Yeah.
Stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that there's this huge need and desire to get out there and get back into different cultures. And I also, you know, COVID was such a terrible thing and terrible experience for so many people, for everybody. It's kind of like this shared trauma, right? That we've all gone through,
right,
and are continuing to go through. I think one thing about shared traumas is its ability to connect us. And so, you know, I think, you know, we went through it in the States, people went through it in Spain, right? Like there's kind of this shared understanding and when that takes place, there's the opportunity for growth in your community. And so I think, there is that piece, which is great. But I think you got to balance that with concern and fear, right?
Yeah, and I think especially, so what are the ages of the young adults that you are going to be working with?
Yeah, 18 to 25.
Okay.
So the young adult range. And so, so
that,
yeah.
Concern of parents then is, you know, what is happening in Spain, you know, is, you know, in regards
yeah.
to safety around COVID.
Yeah, so I think one thing about Spain in particular, you can look at a map, and Spain and Portugal are rocking it in terms of their vaccination rates. You know, I think the last time, you know, on my last trip, I asked, and I think it was 81% in Spain are vaccinated. And so, yeah, I think in terms of safety, you know, you know, you're with COVID, you're probably in better shape in Spain or Portugal than in the States right now. But,
yeah.
but the traveling is exhausting. You know, I think everybody's having to take special, procedures and do the things to keep everybody safe.
Right.
And so there is a added level of difficulty there, that we just got to navigate, right. It is what it is at this point. And so, yeah, we would have to do a lot of handholding with students and families in order to get them past that point and get them here.
Okay.
But when you do, it's worth it. You know.
Yeah, just dealing with airports and airlines and TSA and all of the things
yeah.
requiring you now, especially traveling international, it just does require patience and breathing through the process.
Absolutely. And then to get back into the States, they have you, you know, you got to be vaccinated.
Right.
And they also require a COVID test within 72 hours. So that, yeah, you got both. And it's not one of those like little, like I'm going to stick the thing like this far into your nose and swab it a couple times. It's the test where you're like, I don't know how much further this thing can go
Oh my
before it
gosh.
hits the back of my head. That's super uncomfortable, but hey, at least you know, like you get on that plane, you're like, I am protected. Everybody's gone through this. Yeah.
Chris in Washington, D.C. asked, do I need to know Spanish to go to Spain? So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think part of the beauty of a study abroad program is learning the language. And it's a necessity for any student,
Well,
coming abroad is
adds to the benefit of you being there.
it adds to the benefit. It's also paying respect to the culture. And that's something that we've seen, even those people in Spain that are fluent in Spanish appreciate you trying. I think it says a lot, even if you butcher it and you just got to do the best you can.
Yeah, barely get me through.
Absolutely. And eventually they'll stop you and say, okay, let's speak in English. I take Spanish 3 times a week.
Okay, you're doing that.
Yeah, so I'm getting there. I'm in the process of learning. My wife speaks a lot better than I do, but I will be talking with the waiter, and after a while they'll just kind of gently, tap me on the arm and say, it's okay. Well, yeah, let me give you the specials. And so there's just so sweet, but I think, it says a lot when you actually try to learn their culture. You're not just there, on holiday. You're actually, you're learning from them. And I think that's something that they appreciate. What a great skill to walk away with is being able
Have another language.
Have another language. Absolutely. So yeah, that's really special. So, people can come in in different levels. Some students won't speak a word, and some might think that they're, pretty fluent.
They'll
And so, yeah, we'll find out, and we'll get, each student assessed prior to coming in terms of, their level of Spanish and what class they need to be in. But,
So they'll be able to take classes there then
yep.
to enhance their ability.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Paul in Colorado says, I want to go to college. I also want to take a gap year first. Is that a benefit in any way? And I'm hearing this a lot from, I live in a neighborhood where the high school is right across the street, and a lot of the kids are actually saying, I'm not ready to go off to college. I want to do something else for a year or 2 years before I go to college.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, all of this is my opinion, right? So it's so yeah, I think more and more colleges too are appreciating experience prior to enrollment. I remember, at many of my crooked paths, right? Like at one point I was thinking about getting an MBA. And the idea that they don't like people going directly from a 4-year college to an MBA degree, they want you to have experience first before, going into that higher level of education. I remember thinking of like, that's such a good idea. That makes so much sense.
They have snap experience.
And I think that's true with education in general. I think I can look back at my life and all the mistakes I've made and dumb, immature decisions that I made. Man, I would have benefited from some more time for some personal growth. And I think if I would have done that, even though I graduated from college, it wasn't easy. But yeah, I look back on that and some of those, classes and things that I might not have taken as seriously as I should have. Like I look back and say, hey, what a missed opportunity. Because I just wasn't at the point of maturity to really kind of recognize, hey, I'm paying a lot of money for an amazing education that I could take advantage of. Like, and so, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's how I spent my time.
absolutely. So yeah, I think having that extra time to just, you know, figure some things out and grow, so that you really can take advantage of that is essential. And that's, and that can be, you know, in Spain, that can be in San Diego, you know, that can be anywhere, just taking that time to
adventure
really,
out.
You know, yeah, adventure out a little bit.
And that's what I'm hearing from the high school kids, you know, in the area that I've been talking to, you know, is that they feel that they haven't left the neighborhood,
and,
so to speak, and they would like to see what else is out there before making major life decisions.
Absolutely. And I think part of that is, you know, we have our different bubbles. And so I think a lot of us are in like the first bubble, the house bubble.
Right.
And then there's like our city bubble and our state bubble and our country bubble and beyond. So I think, you know, a lot of us are kind of, or a lot of kids, you know, nowadays, or young adults coming out or haven't ventured out into very many of their bubbles. And so the idea of there being this whole world out there that's different than ours, or different than the world that we've been living in, is pretty amazing. Outlets look different in other countries. You know,
you have to have those different plugs.
Yeah, so I think sometimes I think especially in the United States we can kind of get into this idea that this is our world
and it's not.
And which is different and like, you know, you look at, you know, Europe and other countries where people are flying in and out of everywhere and we just don't do that. A lot of it's just, you know, based on, you know, location and how difficult it is to maybe travel abroad. But yeah, exposing them to that is something that is so cool.
So what is the food like in Spain? Because I will tell you that kids ask those questions. I mean, parents ask certain questions, but the kids are, so what will I be eating?
Yeah. So the Spain diet is the Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
And it's often, you know, classified as like the healthiest diet out there that you can have. And so, yeah, you know, fish, you know, vegetables, you know, all those, it's very, very healthy. You know, you gotta be aware of, I mean, there's gelato on every corner, so you gotta be careful, you know, so you gotta balance it out. But yeah, everything's fresh too. I mean, I think that is one thing that we've really seen. My wife in particular has a lot of food sensitivities.
Okay. I was going to say, so what if somebody has food sensitivities or what if they're vegetarian or vegan?
And that, all that, I mean, they're sympathetic and understanding to all of that. But one thing that we've seen is my wife who has lots of food sensitivities and, you know, it's this unfortunate situation where food and eating is a stressful situation, right? Because it's like, you know, is this food going to make me, you know, not sick or give me a headache or whatever it might be? But abroad, she can eat whatever she wants.
Wow.
And a lot of that has to do with pesticides and GMOs and preservatives and all these things that, you know, we put in our foods here that just aren't there over there. Everything is just so fresh and
that's wonderful.
Yeah, so it is wonderful. It's one of the many reasons why, you know, Spain for our family in particular makes a lot of sense. But yeah, we're to turn like, you know, eating out and from a stressful situation to something that's exciting and like, hey, I want to try everything is pretty cool, pretty great. And I think, and I don't know, I mean, it's all, you know, again, I preface it like, this is my opinion, right, that, you know, we have so many kids that have food sensitivities, you know, here that, you know, might not elsewhere. I don't know. I mean, it's so cool for them to experience something different and see, you know, does this food make me feel better?
Okay. And what if somebody is on a medication? Will that in turn be able to be filled at a pharmacy? Yeah. Okay.
You know what? And that's, I think that's,
One of the kids asked me, they have terrible allergies. And again, I'm just wondering if that's not environmental to here, but having that medication available, would be
There's amazing pharmacies on,
every corner.
every street, every corner, with extremely helpful people. And I think, it's interesting. Sometimes I remind, my wife, and I have to remind myself, like, we're not traveling to a place that doesn't have resources. This is a these this is a yeah this is a well-developed country. It has there's malls, there's movie theaters, there's amazing healthcare, amazing doctors. So yeah, it's people will be well taken care of in terms of their medical needs.
Let's see. And, what do you think are going to be some of the benefits? I know we've talked a little bit just about, being away and in immersing yourself in the culture. So what are some of the benefits when they come over and they're going to get situated living with you or living with a host family? What is the day going to look like? What are their weeks going to look like? How is it they're going to grow, not just in maturity, but in knowledge to be able to bring that back with them?
Absolutely. So, there's going to be language courses for the majority of students if they're not, enrolled in full-time school to get their associate's degree. And even in the associate's degree program, there's a required Spanish course.
Okay.
So everybody's learning Spanish, and so that's going to be a large part. The day is going to look a bit differently if they're going to be with a host family. The beauty of that is you get to do the day that the host family does. I mean, of course you'll have free time, but the family's also going to invite you to their
Participate.
day. And you're going to eat with them. They're gonna cook the meals for you, and hopefully you can help. But it is, that's a fully culturally immersive experience.
Wow, yeah.
And so, there's huge benefit to that, of course. And something really cool about just being able to connect with an entirely new family, right? And these amazing families who are offering up their homes
That's
to students, how incredible of a gift that is, that they're giving. So, and then the more fellowship, program, that which we'll have a lot more interactions with me and my family. Those days are going to be filled with a lot more of the structured activity. So, cooking courses. It's my goal that everybody that leaves is able to make a paella for their
Oh,
family.
wow. That'd be
I
wonderful.
always, yeah, I always, I joke with my wife. We've known each other for years, and we went to high school together, and she was my homecoming date, but it took 15 years for her to actually date me.
Oh
And I wonder, like, would if I made you a paella, would that have sped up this process? And I think she said it would have. So I think, maybe if a student can leave here knowing how to make a paella, that's a great skill
That's a
that they
great
can share
skill
with
that you
others. But yeah, so different activities, cooking, art, where we've been in touch with, art studios that offer art classes, ceramics classes, that's Christina, who owns the ceramic studio in downtown Estepona. She's amazing. And so there, I think, there's yoga on the beach, there's meditation, there's we met a guy from Ireland who does leather making courses,
Oh,
so we can do some of that. There's an equestrian center nearby. There's scuba diving. So there's all these things where we're going to just kind of fill their time with this really productive, amazing, opportunities that, our goal is, not only do they have this incredible, amazing experience, but, if we can also put some things on their resume that really showcase how incredible they are.
So
and all the amazing things they learned.
Coaching, Johnny, that goes along with this as well.
Yeah, there's going to be mentoring. I think, I have life experience and so does my wife. And so we'll be
assisting them as they go. And this is co-ed also, right?
Working with them on filling up their time and there you go. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, it's going to be their time is going to be filled with some really amazing stuff, on top of like museum visits and art galleries and those types of things.
And this is a co-ed opportunity. Oh, we're having some technical challenges again here a little bit with Johnny's connection there in Washington. Can you hear me, Johnny? Okay, Sam's gonna change channels for us here so we can get a better connection. So there's some really great information here that we want to be sharing, and I'd like to hear more about Johnny's move with his family as well. Him and his wife and his 5-year-old daughter. He was telling me recently that the trip that he just came back from, that they were looking at schools for his daughter. And had an opportunity to really look at some amazing schools for, preschool, kindergarten, and elementary school children. Hi, Johnny.
I'm in a different room now.
Okay.
I'm hoping this works better. I apologize.
No, it's, we go with the flow because, we have no control over what happens with technology sometimes.
That's true.
So, you talked about a little bit about your family going. So it's you, your wife, your daughter. Is there other family that's going with you? And who's all taking this adventure
of
leaving the state of Washington and moving to Spain?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's going to be me and my wife and daughter. My mother-in-law, who's also a clinician, is going to be, adding some additional support there too. So it's gonna be a lot of family involvement. Okay. I think it's funny. Family, working with family can either be a good thing or a bad thing. I view it as overqualified people, being able to, to help for, a reasonable price. Yeah,
maybe just some good home cooked meals.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
What's transportation like there? So when the students come over, transportation, to school, or transportation to another place in Spain, obviously they're not going to be driving, I'm assuming, and
right.
And so what is the transportation situation for them to get around?
So, one of the reasons we loved Estepona is that it's a walking town.
Okay.
And so the majority of things are going to be right at their fingertips. And so they can walk to pretty much everything. If there are some things, what's great about the locations too, is that we're right next to Marbella, which is an even larger city.
Okay.
And then we're close to Malaga, which is a huge city. I think it's over 500,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And that's, international airport. That's where everybody will be flying in and out of. It's an hour away, actually 48 minutes. We timed it. And that's where, they have the Picasso Museum and a wide range of other, I think there's over 20 museums in Malaga.
Wow.
That students can go to. So, a lot of that is at our disposal. All of it's within a bus ride.
Okay.
And so all students will have bus passes and we'll be able to use that and we'll ride it with them if we need to get people comfortable. But the bus system there is fantastic. the buses are clean on time, and it's a great system that they have over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that when I was in Portugal as well, the same thing. It was very well organized, easy to get around, very safe.
Yep.
Very safe opportunities.
Absolutely. And that is, I mean, the safety was such a big thing for us. We, especially with our daughter, right? So we kept looking at statistics and just like, you can never guarantee anybody's safety, right?
No.
That's impossible. But the level of the numbers are pretty, there's a pretty big difference between, numbers in the US and Estepona. So hopefully our students will experience that and feel that too.
So again, when you're talking about the study abroad program, they really are coming then to engage in an educational opportunity.
Yep.
That is the crux of the program that's being offered.
Yeah, they're either going to be enrolled in those associate degree courses, general education or language courses. So,
And are you requiring any type of physical, or what's going to be the process? Let's say somebody says, okay, I'm interested. Tell me the steps I need to take now to show my interest.
Yeah, sure. Physical, to make sure that they're physically, safe to travel and be there. An updated resume, a video, I love the idea of students. It's like I think it's a generational thing too. I think, having somebody just kind of take a quick video of themselves, sharing what they want to get out of the experience, is wonderful. I mean, then it kind of goes from there.
Okay.
A lot of it will also depend on if they're going to be here longer term. So, after 3 months, if they are, then
minimum is 3 months, and then it goes from there.
No, our home stays can be shorter, but if they're if they're going to be enrolled for the associate's degree or anything like that, they'll need student visas.
Okay.
And so that paperwork will need to be started about a month and a half prior to coming.
Okay.
And so we'll need to just kind of collect some of those documents and we will take care of that. We'll get that process started for them.
Okay. That's good. Cause I'm sure there's a lot that has to be done for them to make this journey.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, Johnny, and to learn more information, about this opportunity?
Sure. Absolutely. I think, I'm a pretty accessible guy. So I give out my cell phone,
okay,
to folks. So, feel free. My cell phone is 971-330-3949. Please feel free to reach out, text, call if you want some more information.
And, I know a couple of young adults have asked, I'm worried about being homesick. I've not actually left,
sure,
anywhere. I've gone from here to Yosemite, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
This is a long way to be. How's the connection with the parents going to happen, and what's going to help them get over that hump of, maybe a little homesickness?
Absolutely. Well, you should have your phones and computers, so please, call parents and share videos and pictures as much as possible. I think that's great. Homesickness is, you can be homesick at Disney World. I think sometimes that's okay. I think the power of change happens when we get out of our comfort zones, and that's uncomfortable sometimes. There'll be moments where, you might, wish you were back home, or you miss your, getting a, even though there are McDonald's and Burger Kings, and you might miss, something from back home. And, I think, that's where, if you can reach out to me while you're there, or, I'll be accessible to all the students, so we can kind of talk that through a little bit. And I think, you know, knowing that it's normal, right? It's
Right.
this is part of life and a part of change and a part of independence. I remember when my parents drove away when they dropped me off at college.
I was going to say, it's
And
kind of like the same thing as college. Kids get homesick when they go to college.
absolutely. And I remember them driving away in my mom's green minivan, thinking like, wow, this is like this is it. Like they're my mom's gone. You know? And there's like there is this moment of like panic. But since then I've pushed past that, Dory. I've gotten a lot better. But yeah, I think recognizing that that's part of the growth process, right?
Well, you know, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I think this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for a lot of young adults next year. I'll look forward to hearing more information about it, and I'll make sure that they have everything up on your page that I'll put up on the website as well for contact. And I'll list your cell phone number so that they'll
perfect. 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 Yeah. And you know, we do have a wonderful domestic program in San Diego.
Yeah.
Going on that's enrolling students right now. And it's
a good place to start for
it's
some.
It's a great place. Yeah, it's a great place to start and to kind of, you know, experience some of that independence and dip your toes in the world of independence. And it's a great opportunity to learn some skills and vocational training and education, all that while still in the state. So that's a great option too.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure that they have information to reach out to both you know, areas of opportunities, and
yep,
certainly can explore, you know, what's coming. So thank you again, Johnny, for being here. I just really
my pleasure, Dory.
And maybe I'll get to visit you in Spain. Sounds
absolutely good. Yeah, I'll kidnap you if you don't. I'll make sure you're there.
Okay. Next week is Thanksgiving, everyone, and I will not be here for a live show, but I'm going to replay the show with Janet Bentley, who is the author of her book, Don't Expect Me to Cry. So if you didn't get a chance to watch that show the first time, please engage and listen to the show next week. And also have a wonderful Thanksgiving. The week after that, our guest will be Justin Robinson, and he's the co-founder and co-director of New Perspectives for Young Adults. And that'll be on December 2nd. Always every Thursday at 12 noon. And Justin's going to talk about neurodiversity and employment, which I think is an important topic for a lot of young adults. I'm going to leave you with today's saying from Maya Angelou, that when we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. So I hope that that can be a theme for your Thanksgiving this year. If you're traveling, stay safe, and I will look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dory Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.